I'll take the camera. Yeah. Father, thank you for the word you've laid on Daniel's heart for us. Please use it to expand our knowledge of you, our spiritual and theological knowledge of you, that we grow in our love for you, and that we also understand more of your view of the world and more of what you're doing, what your mission is, and our place in that as your co-laborers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, good evening again. It's a great privilege to be here with you tonight. And never preached in Anglican church before. It's great. I love Anglican churches. I often go to those churches and just sit down and pray and reflect. But it's a great opportunity to speak today in this one of these churches, and a special privilege to speak to the Baptist Church in Anglican Church. That's interesting. God is doing amazing things, and I would love all these buildings to be used for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. We don't have these privileges to have this kind of buildings in our country. As a Baptist church, we have only one Baptist building for two congregations to come together in Baku, in capital of our country, for 4 million people. So we don't have this privilege to have these buildings. And when I travel in the UK, see these kind of buildings, my heart gets broken when I see most of them empty. But I believe God is mighty God. He can stir people's heart and bring them back to himself. Let us go to the scripture. My reading is taking place from Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse from 1 to 14. It's John 14, reading from first one. "Do not be worried and upset," Jesus told them. "Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where am I going?" Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way to get there?" Jesus answered to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me," he said to them, "you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need." Jesus answered, "For a long time I have been with you all, yet you don't know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have spoken to you," Jesus said to his disciples, "do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things that I do. I am telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I am going to my Father. And I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." Amen. It's a great scripture. Every time when I read, it just gives me more confidence in this scripture. It's particularly close to my heart because This is the first part of the scripture that I fully understood when I met Christ. Great scene. You can imagine to yourself, Jesus sits with his disciples. They sit together and discuss. And then Jesus tried to explain to them something very important. And one of the things that Jesus wanted to help them to understand, actually, the point of Christ. He was making a point for them to understand. What was the point? I like discovering these points when I read the scripture, when Jesus speaks. Just simply sits with his disciples and just speaks. You know, tells them about things. Simply, or sometimes difficult. So now we see Jesus sits with his disciples and he says, listen, don't be worried. So there's nothing to be worried about because I am with you and I'm going to go to the place to prepare a place for you and I'll come back and I'll take you with me. So therefore, I'm not going to leave you. I will be with you forever. And I can understand these disciples who have just met Jesus and who calls himself as a God, as a Son of God. He talks about the heavenly things, which was very difficult for them at that point to understand. For us, it's easy to understand today because we've got lots of books, lots of commentaries, lots of theological books to understand, to tackle, and to get the points. And there are lots of views of different scholars to read. But for them, at that point, it was difficult because we see the questions that his disciples ask him. They were a bit silly. Because Thomas then, after Jesus tries to explain what's going to happen next, Thomas stands up suddenly and says, well, Jesus, wow, I really don't understand. Okay, well, thank you for that. But, you know, it's difficult for me. So you say, you're talking about the way. So so tell me, how can I find that way then? So you're talking about the way that leads to God, to our Father, to our Father's house. And you're talking that about the things that's going to happen with us. I mean, you're going to come back and take us with you. So please tell me, where is that way? And it's particular. I understand this difficulty particularly because coming from the place that we never had any, you know, theological, you know, schools to study God's word, that Christianity for us, for Azerbaijanis, is like a, you know, new faith. All of us, I'm first generation Christian who came to Christ 24 years ago after the Soviet Union collapsed, and we never had any opportunity to go and study God's word somewhere else, and we didn't have any theological books and the, you know, the commentaries, Bible commentaries to tackle with to understand the scripture. So coming to the Spurgeons and tackling with all these books, my head was, you know, twice bigger than I had. And it was difficult for me to understand all these points. I nearly lost my faith. But thankful I survived. And I really thank God for this opportunity to study at Spurgeons. I had the opportunity to tackle with all these books and understand Bible better. So therefore, Thomas, when he asks this, we can see from the response of Jesus Christ that he's again understands that these people don't understand the point. And he says, well, listen, Thomas, why do you need this way? You don't understand the way and the truth and the life. It's me standing before you. You don't need to look for any way. I am here. And no one can come to my Father unless through me. But then suddenly we see Philip stands up and says, wow, listen, Jesus, thank you. Okay, so, you know what? I really don't understand this, but I try, but I'm struggling. Could you just show us the Father? And that will be enough for us. You don't need to, you know, talk about the future things. Yes, we believe that, you know, we all will be resurrected and see you and meet with you in the heaven. There will be a feast and all this stuff. You know, but could you please just show, right now, I just wanted to see God. I just wanted to see my Father. And that will be enough for us. You don't need to tackle with all this stuff to help us to understand. It's still difficult for me. And then I can understand the reaction of Jesus Christ. He looks at him and says, well, Philip, I've been with you so long. And how can you ask this silly question to me? It's silly for us to judge about this question, because we know God as our Father through Jesus Christ. But for them, it was difficult. That was my experience. When I was a young man, I was looking for God and wanted to really know Him. And He led me to my great-grandmother, who was one of the mullahs, Muslim mullahs in the country. I came to her and asked her to teach me some of the scriptures from the Quran to find out about God. She taught me some of the scriptures, but it wasn't enough for me. And then later on, I met my music teacher who taught me, you know, how to play the music instrument, accordion. And he was a Christian man. He still is, and he's still in the country, where I come from. So we lived in the town, a normal sized town, and he was the only Christian in that town, Russian Christian man who has lots of troubles in his life. He's a crazy evangelist. He goes all around the country, in the town as well. So he speaks about Jesus Christ. People try to, kill him, but never succeed. He's been attacked and his house was stormed many times. But he still stays in the place and then serves God. He doesn't want to leave the place. But anyway, he used the opportunity to speak about Jesus Christ to me. And he gave me a New Testament. I was over the moon, and I thought, well, I've got the book about God, finally. I ran to my father. I came to him. I said, well, look at this. I've got the book about God. And I thought, well, he will meet me with the same reaction. He will jump on me and then hug me and then kiss me and say, well, well done. You've got the book about God. Because most of the people in our country, they respect God. And it's very, very few atheists in the country. So they're afraid of God, and they respect God. So, and then when I talk about, this book to my father, he became very angry. He said, well, this is not our book. Our book is the Quran. Take this, book away. Just put it in the rubbish bin. I was very upset. I didn't understand him. I thought, he's my father. And I respected him. I went home. I didn't put the book into the rubbish bin. I brought home and I put it in my shelf, and it stayed there for 2 years. I felt that it's right to keep it, not throw it away. And then he immediately took me away from this teacher to another class, and my uncle wanted to kill this man, but he never was successful. But anyway, this man, this Christian man, in secrecy, he met me once. He said, I'm so sorry for making a trouble for you, but can I suggest you something very important? I said, well, let's go, tell me what you want to say. He said, I can see you're looking for God. If you want to find Him, you can pray. Go home and pray and ask Him to show you who is He, to meet with Him, to show you the right way. I somehow agreed with him. I came home. On the way home, I found a quiet place on the street. I didn't want anyone to see me. I just kneeled down on that street, raised my hands, and I said, Lord, I really don't know you, but I want to. I don't know how to find you. Could you please make a way for me to come and now find you? Next morning, I went to the school, and my best mate came to me, and he said, well, we have teachers from Egypt. They come to teach Quran. Would you like us to join them? I was over the moon and I was very happy. I said, well, God has heard my prayer. Let's go and join them. We joined them. I began to learn Quran. In 16 days, I learned how to read Quran, how to recite Quran. Don't be impressed. It's very easy, to learn how to read without any understanding. 80% of Muslims in all of the world, they can't speak any Arabic. They just recite Quran without any understanding. I was one of them. But I was also reading the translation of of Quran. I learned Quran. I know Quran well. But I wasn't satisfied. Although I was there and I was convinced that this is the last faith on the earth and then, you know, the right way to God. And was about to become imam in our group. But I finished the school, went to the police academy and moved from the town to the capital. Stayed with my aunt's family for 2 months. And her husband also used to live in the same town that I lived. So he became a Christian and his friends wanted to kill him. And he just escaped from the town and went to the capital and joined the Baptist Church, Russian Baptist Church. Historically, we had Russian Pentecostal and Russian Baptist Church in Azerbaijan, but never had any Azerbaijanis. So anyway, I stayed with them. He's a great evangelist. He's a crazy evangelist, actually. Nobody can pass him nearby without hearing about Jesus Christ. So, and I was a very strong Muslim believer. I stayed with him in the house for 2 months, and he used every second of these 2 months to talk about Jesus Christ to me. I was sick and tired of hearing all this stuff. I was nearly to fight with him, but I had to respect him because he was, elderly than I was. I mean, in our culture, you have to respect, older people. And moreover, I didn't want to end up on the street. I was living with them in their house. So after tackling with me about Jesus Christ and then talking about Quran, he knew Quran well. And he was opening up the Quran and comparing with New Testament, telling me, the truth and talking about Jesus and pointing out to Muhammad's, mistakes and everything. I was angry. Very angry to punch him, but hardly was keeping myself from that. And moreover, one day he said, "Would you like to come to our church? I would like you to come and visit us." Well, I said, "Here you go. I need to somehow to agree with him. Otherwise, I won't be able to get rid of him. So I need to do that." I went to the church, sat on the back. He preached about 15 minutes, finished and came down to me and sat near to me. We had only a few Azerbaijanis. There were lots of Russians. And the other brother took over from him to speak. "Are you with me? I'm not bored. You're not bored? All right. Okay." And he sat near to me and he said, "How did you find this place? For Azerbaijanis, living with 75 years with Russia, we knew all about Christianity through Russian Orthodox Church. You know, cross, popes, all these, holy waters, prayers to saints and the pictures and everything. And we thought, well, this is idolatry. There's no God in this church because people worship crosses and all this stuff." And I was right. "Don't you think?" I said, "Well, it's a nice place. I don't see any cross and people seems to be nice. And I don't see any special clothes. And you are just normal people." And his second question was, could you guess what was the second question? Just a thought. "Amen. Are you a pastor?" "It might be a leader, yes." I said, "Well, you didn't invite me for that reason here. Can I just sit and just listen? And just could you please be quiet at some point?" He said, "Well, okay, all right, okay." And then he began to pray. When he prayed, I said, "Lord, I just want to say, please forgive me for being here. It's not the right place to be. But could you please help me to go out from this place? And I promise you that I will never come back here again." He finished his prayer and he looked at me, stared at me, and he said, "God has just told me that if you leave this place today, you will never come back to him again." I was in shock. I thought, how can your God speak to you? You believe in three gods. You're mad. How can your God speak to you? I've just spoken to my God. I told him about me. And right at that moment, I felt that someone is just standing before me. Luck in my heart. I didn't know what was going on. Later on, I understood that it was Holy Spirit coming down to me and touching my heart, calling me to hear him. And then I said, I need to do something. He said, I know, come with me. He brought me right in front of the congregation. They gave me a microphone. Everyone stood up. They stared at me. I didn't know what to do, what to say. They said, you need to say, Jesus, please forgive me and accept me. I did as soon as possible and, you know, quick as possible, and then left that place. After the service, people were very happy. They come to me and, you know, just hugged me, kissed me. I had lots of lipsticks around my face. And people were seems to be happy that I did something very important in that place. But later on, I thought, well, I really don't feel anything important, you know. Something important changed in my heart. I still don't understand this God. Although I accepted Christ into my heart, but I don't really understand him. So, and then I thought, it wasn't the right thing to do. I need to come back because I believe that, you know, Islam is the right way to God. That's the last faith. That's the last religion. Quran, you know, Bible is lost, and that's why God sent Quran. That's the main understanding in Islam. And I thought, I'll go back and repent and go back to Islam. As soon as we came home, this man said, why don't we pray together before we go to sleep? Here you go, let's do that. And I agreed with him. So we came to his room and we began to pray. His son, himself, and myself. And we began to pray together. We prayed twice. And every time after the prayer, his son was saying that he saw Jesus Christ. He said something to him. I don't remember what was the words that Jesus was speaking to him. But it just made me interested to, you know, to somehow to understand all these things. You know, that I felt that something was going on in the room, but I didn't know what was going on in the room. And then I said, well, guys, can we pray again? Well, they were gladly accepted. They gladly accepted my proposal, and then we prayed again. So this time, we all prayed. And when we prayed, I was standing on my knees like this, raised my hand. I said, Lord, I don't know who you are. Could you just open my eyes to understand who you are? Who is Jesus? You know, I accepted Christ into my heart. I don't know why this man insisted me to accept you into my heart or Jesus into my heart. I don't know why. Could you please help me? As soon as I said these words, I saw light coming towards me. You know, it just came towards me and hit my heart right here. And as soon as this light hit my heart, I felt, you know, something dark and blind. Spirit left my heart. I became very empty. I didn't feel anything. And then right after this, I was, you know, there was a spring water coming to my heart. I didn't see all this stuff, but I saw everything in my head. This water began to fill my heart. I was filled with this spring water. I stood up from my prayer, and the first thing they understood, God was my Father. And I began to shout. I said, he is my Father. He is my Father. This man looked at me and said, be quiet. Be quiet. Come with me. Because it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone was sleeping in the house. And it was an apartment, you know, with thin walls. So we came to another room. And he said, the two things he wanted me to understand, to accept to my heart, are Jesus Christ and God is my Father. Both of them are seen in Islam. You can't call God as a father. He is just Allah. That's it. And Jesus, how can he be God? How can he be Son of God? It's impossible. It's sin to call man as a God. But I didn't know why he wanted me to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. And he showed me this scripture. When Jesus says, no one can come to my Father unless through me. And it was real and alive for me to understand that actually God was my Father. And then when Philip, you know, asks the question to Jesus Christ, listen, I know God. Well, if you show us the God, that will be enough for us. You know, there are lots of people in this you know, world, they say, well, we know God. Well, Muslims say, we know God. But Jesus Christ, he's a prophet. Jesus Christ, we respect him, but we know God. But in reality, they don't know who God is. Because they don't know who Jesus is. And the same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They say, we know God. Jesus, he's not Almighty God. But we are children of God. Our Father. But in reality, they don't know who God is. Because they don't know who Jesus is. And the same thing with the Jewish people. They say, we are children of Abraham. We're following the Moses' commands. We are children of God. We know God. But Jesus, we're still waiting for him to come. But in reality, they don't know who God is. Am I right?
You are.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because no one can come to God unless through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to God, to come through Jesus Christ. So after I accepted this mighty God into my heart, and I had this wonderful relationship with him, I thought my life will be in honey, in milk. I will have wonderful life. Because I just met my Father, my Heavenly Father. I was filled with the Spirit of God. I knew what I was reading. I knew that God's Word was the God's Word. It hadn't lost. You know, this book still was exist. But persecution began to attack my life. And then, you know, my father, my friends, relatives, they stood against me. After I finished the college, became one of the chief police officers in the, you know, in the capital. And, I was filmed and watched by the agencies all the time. And once I was, entering secretly to the church, was filmed and called to the internal affairs. They've put all my pictures in front of me saying, well, you became Christian. I said, so? We are living in a democratic country. They said, well, this is a Muslim country. If you want to go to the mosque, you're free to do so. But if you are a Christian, take your stuff. And they took, you know, they fired me from my job. We you know, I was just married, and they fired me. We lost everything, house, you know, no salary, nothing. We ended up with my pregnant wife on the street. We didn't know what to do. And then, funny enough, God said, well, I will take care of you. I said, all right, okay. So what we can do now? And then he did. He took care of us. And it's been taking care of us since 2001. We never had any regular salaries in our life. We never had any regular place to live. But God has amazingly took care of us. You know, taking care of every month. Looking back to my life, thinking about all this persecution, all these problems, all these difficulties, and now I can't go to my country. I can think and I can say, it was worth living for. Because Jesus, he gave his life. Yes, I can't go to my country, can't see my parents, can't see my friends and all those dear people to me. But Jesus gave his life. That it was worth living for. I'm not saying that I'm a hero. But I want to say that I'm privileged to be persecuted for him. So therefore, coming back to scripture, Jesus says, listen, believe in me. If you don't believe in my words, believe into the evidences of the miracles that I do. Believe to my words that the things that I'm doing, you will do more things that I've ever done. Because the power and the authority that Jesus has given to us is so mighty. So coming to the end, I want to give you two encouragements for today. Jesus is mighty God. There's no other way to our Father's house unless through Jesus Christ. And if you have never experienced this, that's the opportunity for you to call His name, to open your heart for Him to come and reveal your Father to you. My encouragement is to know that Jesus is with us and He's given us the power and authority to speak about Him. This crazy man who brought me to Christ, every time when I think about this person, I give thanks to God from the bottom of my heart that He insisted, He pushed, you know, He pushed me to accept Christ into my heart. If He didn't do that, I would have been one of those mullahs sitting in the mosque and living for nothing. Therefore, God calls us. God calls us to share this good news with those who don't know, like me, like myself. There are lots of people in your families. There are lots of people in your working place. There are lots of people in your community. There are lots of friends that you have. It would have been terrible. It would have been really terrible if we watched them die without Jesus Christ, knowing that we've been saved. So therefore, please take this encouragement with you today. Remembering my story and praying for the opportunity to speak about Jesus Christ with those who don't know Him. All these empty chairs belongs to your ministry, my ministry. There are people who are waiting for this place to come and sit. Maybe not in this church, maybe in your future church building. But every time when you go to the church, I don't want you to feel guilty, but I want you to feel and think about opportunity. Every time you see empty chair near to you when you're in the church, think and pray about that person who's waiting for that chair, who's waiting for you to come and speak about Jesus Christ. You don't know what kind of power God has given to you. You need to realize and see that God's word is powerful and alive. You need to just open your mouth and you will see mighty things happening. And my second encouragement, I'll finish with this, to pray for those persecuted brothers and sisters who don't have this opportunity to come together in freedom. There are lots of Philips in those places. There are lots of Thomases in those countries. They don't know who God is. They think that they know, but they don't know in reality who God is, because they don't know who Jesus Christ is. And those who know who Jesus Christ is, they suffer for their faith. So therefore, my encouragement to pray for them, as we talked about our ministry today, this is just a ministry, this is just the opportunity for us to pray for them, to remember them. This is God's calling to us in Matthew chapter 25. He says, when I was in prison, when I was, when I needed clothes, when I needed a, you know, shelter, you gave me all these things. That's the encouragement of God to think about our brothers and sisters. So therefore, please pray for them. And we'll do it right now. Lord, thank You for Your word. Your word is alive and powerful. And thank You for that day that You met us in the place when we realized, we came to the realization that You are our God and You are our Father. Thank You, Jesus, to come into our lives to reveal that good news to us. Lord, I pray that You would empower us again. Refresh us again and help us to go and see the opportunities to speak about You with people who dies on the streets. Bring your love to this broken community. Bring your hope to those who lost their hope. And also pray for our brothers and sisters who are living in persecution. They don't have this opportunity to come together for a few hours, for a couple of hours, to worship you freely in groups. I pray for those countries that you would bring your salvation to those nations. Touch the authorities' hearts and give your freedom to those countries for our brothers and sisters. And also I pray that you would break our hearts, the things that break your hearts, for those people who suffer for you, Lord. Help us to see the opportunities. How can we help to them? How can we be part of their ministry over there? Lord, again, thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for everything that you have done in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.